Chapter 52. Arion. Arion stepped out of the High King's study just behind Commander Tolan, feeling a bit weary at the possibility of a full-on engagement with Sealmar in the near future. He couldn't understand what would be driving such a small kingdom to consider actions like this, which carried the potential for such catastrophic consequences. Sealmar wasn't quite a third the size of Alondria, and even if they conscripted every able body to join ranks, they wouldn't be much more than half the size of the Alondrian forces. It just didn't make any sense. There had to be more going on than what they were seeing. After a lengthy discussion of the actions required in dealing with their neighbors, Arion made a point of bringing the king's attention to the matter concerning the strange disappearances in the Warrens. He was surprised to find that word had already reached the king's ears about the peculiar kidnappings. For the last month, the High King had heard testimony after testimony of strange hooded men taking people in the night. Concerned citizens had filled the throne room each week to relay the news, in hopes of garnering the king's assistance. Evidently, the kidnappings had not been confined to just the Warrens, as Kira and Poe had thought, but had branched out from there, moving north and south along the waterways. The king agreed with Commander Tolan's suggestion to allow a contingent of his lancers to accompany the city patrollers in flushing out the culprits, even if it meant working with the Warren clans to do so. Arion, on the other hand, had agreed to try reaching out to his contacts in the underground to see if they would be willing to accept the help offered. After assuring the king of his belief in the clan's cooperation, Arion thanked the king for his assistance and, along with Commander Tolan, left Raiden to his work. Arion had always been amazed at the lengths Raiden would go to help the citizens of his kingdom. He had never heard of any other king willing to listen to the individual pleas of his people. They came from all across Eremor to petition their requests. Some came just to pay their respects. "The stronger the ties with my people," Arion had heard the king say on numerous occasions, "the stronger the kingdom will be." More than that, Arion knew Raiden was a good king. And unlike his predecessors, his benevolence was more than just show. It stemmed from a heart which truly cared. Arion also knew a great deal of that credit went to Queen Elise. The pair of monarchs had been the best thing to happen to Alondria in some time, and the people knew it. One of the king's first decrees, after taking the throne, was to make sure that his people had a safe and expedient way to travel. Raiden not only worked to keep the roads maintained, but he posted continual patrols in order to force highwaymen to seek other venues by which to make their profit. With the roads being made accessible once again, the kingdom grew. Raiden also gave back by cutting the previously established citizen tax by over half, allowing the people of Alondria more coin with which to buy and sell. Permitting the people to keep larger portions of their income encouraged a growth in commercial enterprise. People, who were at one time too fearful to strike out on their own because of a lack of means, began taking risks. Businesses sprouted like weeds all across Alondria, and the kingdom prospered because of it. The only complaints were from some of the more prominent ruling class, who had grown dependent on the previous bribes they had received from the additional taxes. Trade also increased. Export ships that had been half full were now overflowing with a fresh variety of goods to sell in markets throughout the Five Kingdoms. Strangely enough, there was more gold flowing into the royal coffers now, with fewer taxes than there had been while the taxes were increased. Arion walked alongside Tolan as they made their way down one of the northwest corridors. The silence between them had Arion on edge. He noticed the commander's pensive demeanor. Tolan had been just as perplexed by the situation with Sealmar as he had been. But when faced with the testimonies from nearly every community running up and down the Pyruvian River, from the Black Hills to the Runaran Ocean, one could hardly deny the truth.
"Do you truly think this is about mining rights?" Tolan finally asked. "If so, then why all the raids on poor villages along the border?
Does it really matter?"
As much as Arian enjoyed his position as guardian protector, he was beginning to wonder if his life would ever consist of anything other than violence. He found himself contemplating this enigma more often of late, especially within sight of a certain beautiful young woman.
"If the king says we fight, then we fight."
Tolan rubbed his chin with the back of his hand.
"True, but I'd rather know what I was fighting for, wouldn't you? It might better help determine the extent to which Sealmar will go into an all-out confrontation."
"Can't argue there," Arian said. "It doesn't make much sense to me, considering their size and lack of manpower.
There must be something else we aren't aware of. But I trust Raiden to make the right decision."
"Aye. There's no one I'd be more willing to go to battle for or with.
In the meantime, I'll see what I can do to reach out to the clan heads."
Tolan nodded.
"Your background on the streets has proven a valuable commodity in your job. It's hard to believe. Had things been different, it might have been you leading the clans instead of taking on the role of guardian protector."
Arian started to smile, but then his thoughts shifted to Kira and what she might have been required to do in order to get to where she was, and it soon faded. He didn't care to think about it.
"You'll need to come by the house for dinner sometime. Tirana was asking about you the other day, complaining how we never do any entertaining. You'll have to invite Captain Barthol and his wife as well. I believe my wife formed an attachment the last we dined. Kenzie was very kind to Tirana."
"I'll be happy to. Barthol mentioned how much his wife enjoyed the company."
Tolan started to walk away, but turned back.
"Oh, and be sure to invite Amaresia."
Arian flushed.
"She would appreciate that." "Good. I look forward to making her acquaintance."
Tolan turned down the next corridor and disappeared around the corner, leaving Arian to his thoughts. He could hear Tolan whistling all the way down the hall. Arian chuckled and shook his head. Tolan had been hinting to Arian for some time that he needed to move his relationship forward with Amaresia before someone else snatched her up. Arian wasn't sure why he had been holding back. He cared for her, and she was more than open in her feelings for him. But he was afraid that because of his line of work, he would make her a soon-to-be widow. As he rounded the next corner on his way to his office, and the awaiting stacks of paper begging for his attention, Arian's mind kept drifting to the problem in the Warrens and his rather abrasive reunion with his childhood friends. He needed to make contact with Kira to let her know about the king's decision, but after the last meeting, he wasn't sure how wise that would be, for his sake or hers. The strong emotions she had awakened during their short visit had troubled him. Worse yet, was the question as to whether he should let Amaresia know of his intentions to meet with the strong, leather-clad chieftain, or keep it to himself, so as not to cause any unnecessary concern.